tomorrow evening, the Omega Order will come to birth. And like all births, this will not only constitute a beginning, it will also be the culmination of a long process. A process of formation, growth, and a coming to maturity. About 3 years ago, I was asked the question, "Tell me, why did you buy Kent House?" And my reply was to say that I could answer the question in one of two ways, whichever the questioner preferred. A, I could, to the best of my ability, give a long, rational explanation to satisfy the intellect. Or B, simply say that I know I had to do it. The second way, said the questioner, tells me all that I want to know. Dorothy Kerrin, when speaking of the development of the work at Burswood, said again and again, "Whatever may have been accomplished in this place is not of my doing. I have been merely a channel." Now, in the bringing to birth of this place and what it now embodies and transmits, there have been very many channels, some hidden and some apparent. And those who have contributed both to the recreation of this beautiful house and to the energies which now radiate from it have done so because they knew that in obedience to their Lord they had to do it. It's as simple and as profound as all that. And all this has happened not without very great travail. In the early days, and indeed since, there were many pressures, pressures often from those who, with the best of intentions, wished to push the house and its work in a particular direction, to give it a particular label, or see it clearly aligned with a specific cause. Sometimes the motivation of the pressure was fear of criticism and fear of the unknown, like the Israelites with Joshua standing at the brink of the River Jordan. But the time was not ripe. And those of us who have lived here from the beginning have been very aware that this place had to be established in order that that which was intended from the beginning, that which was in the divine plan and purpose, and that alone, should be free to manifest itself here. And the only way to ensure that was to make the place a centre of prayer and meditation, thus creating space in which the right plants could grow. In looking back, it is quite clear to me that a preparatory period of non-alignment was of very great importance. There had to be a blasting. There had to be what I would call a dislocation of thinking before shaping could begin on the part of a sufficient number, a dislocation of thinking. And this, in some measure, has been done. Stage by stage, this place and those who have been drawn to it have, I believe, been prepared for the coming to birth of the Omega Order. And let me say this, that although the concept of the Order has now become very clear, and it began to become clear when we went to Lew Trenchard Manor, when in the little village church, the four precepts of the Order were given. Although the concept of the Order has now become very clear, it can only manifest in power insofar as our corporate and individual understanding is more than an intellectual concept. We could very easily become a triumphalist organization with banners flying in all directions, causing a stir here and a rumpus there, getting into the press and drawing a great deal of attention, and in spiritual terms, be a nothing. To the extent that our understanding is from the heart, and our dedication a sacrificial one, to that extent, no more and no less shall we be channels for the divine dynamic which is even now struggling to come to birth in this nation. The ever-present danger is, and will always be, that true understanding be taken over by mere intellectual assent, that knowledge of truth should be swamped by an attempt to propagate a supposed deposit of truth, and that dynamic should give way to cult. This we shall overcome only insofar as we practice those spiritual disciplines which open the heart to the truth as it is in Jesus. And this brings me to a fundamental cornerstone of the Order. The Order has no basis of faith. The Order has no basis of faith. There is no requirement that its members should subscribe to a particular creedal statement. And this I say quite unequivocally. If I were to say otherwise, I should be denying what I believe to be the call and vision. For the Order is concerned not with frameworks of faith, necessary and desirable as they may be. Its concern is with knowledge, knowledge of the heart. And these principles I have tried to outline in the book that is about to be published. Those who commit themselves to the Order commit themselves to a level of operation which transcends the barriers of dogma and doctrine. Others are called to operate on the level of dogma and doctrine and theology. This is not the level of operation to which the Omega Order is called, and if it ever tries to operate on that level, may God bring it to a speedy conclusion. May I quote from the booklet, Christ in the New Age? Ecumenism has prepared the way for what Happold in Religious Faith and 20th Century Man calls intersection. This will become increasingly apparent as we move into the next century. Dogmatic consciousness will be superseded by a higher form of awareness, where apparent opposites will be transcended. Something much greater than a synthesis of truths. And remember, there are those who are called to operate on this level of synthesizing truth. This is not our level of operation. Those sharing in this consciousness will find themselves standing at points of intersection between worlds which at the level of dogmatic formulas appear to be contradictory and irreconcilable. And let us not be unaware that for those for whom this is clearly the way forward, there will be much misunderstanding, opposition, even persecution and suffering. One of the great forerunners of intersection was Simone Weil, the French Jewish resistance fighter in France during World War II. Her perception of the Christ who fills all things made it impossible for her to enter into any kind of exclusive commitment beyond her commitment to him. So, born a Jewess, she died in the Jewish religion, fully and sacrificially committed to the Christ who transcends all barriers. This will form the new religious consciousness in the future. And it is for the fostering, the nurturing, and encouraging of this consciousness that God has given us the Omega Order. In the days that lie ahead, many will join us and join our successors, whose framework of faith may differ from our own, whose religious traditions, whose thought patterns, and whose language, equally sacred, will spring from origins very diverse from those which have nurtured us, and for which we unequivocally give God thanks, and in which we hope to remain to our dying day. To us is given a part in preparing the way for all this to happen. It is a very great privilege indeed, and a very great and grave responsibility. And we respond to this vision both with humility and confidence and with great joy. In being true to the vision, we enter into controversy with no one, and we presume to judge no one. Neither do we seek to persuade or convert anyone to anything other than to the way of the heart. And remember that the way of the heart is the path of wisdom, discernment, and above all things, charity. The task committed to us is tremendous. It is to be in the vanguard of what I believe will be a nationwide movement of the Spirit. Equalness to the task will be determined not by emotional fervour, nor by uninformed enthusiasm or devotion to a person, least of all devotion to the Founder. God save us from that. God save us from the building up of a cult of Kent House, a cult of Peter Spink, that cannot do without either. The measure of our success will be that in the very near future, the movement will not in any way be dependent upon the Founder for the continuation of the dynamic. Success will be determined by our capacity to recognize the Christ in others. Our gifts, and we all have them, everyone, and you've heard me say this on many occasions, every one of us has gifts, and they need to be released. But our gifts will be as nothing. Indeed, they will be as wood, hay, stubble, if we seek to exercise them from the ego. The way forward, indeed the only way forward, is expressed in what from tonight will be the prayer of the Omega Order, the prayer of St. Francis. I'm going to offer that prayer in a moment, and then I'm going to ask you to go quietly to the chapel for the vigil of prayer. And remember, our prayer is not inward-looking. We're praying that the vision may be earthed. We're concerned not for ourselves. We are at best an instrument to the greater purpose, of which we understand very little, the healing of the nations. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we are pardoned, it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. From the unreal, lead me to the real. From darkness, lead me to the light. From death, lead me to immortality. Ye hosts angelic, by the high archangel led, with heavenly power beneficent, mighty in the music of the word, great ones entrusted with the sovereignty of infinite celestial spheres, marshalling the cherubim and the flaming seraphim, ye, O Michael, Prince of Heaven, and Gabriel, by whom the word is given, Raphael, with healing ministry, to those who yet in bondage are, guide our footsteps as we journey onward into paradise. Let us be mindful of the world of which we are part, and of Christ's light, love, and power, struggling to come to birth within the hearts of men and of all creation. For I reckon that the sufferings we now endure bear no comparison with the splendour as yet unrevealed, which is in store for us. For the created universe waits with eager expectation for God's sons to be revealed. Let us now, by an act of the will, place ourselves in the presence of our Divine Lord and pray that he may empty us of self and all desire, save that his will may be done, and that it may illumine our hearts and minds. We so gather together all those for whom our prayers are desired, and hold them silently before him, neither asking nor beseeching, just resting with them in him.
Almighty God, we pray thee grant us thy grace, and send thy strong servant, blessed Michael, archangel, with spiritual sword of light, to purify and defend us, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Will you please sit down?
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, and become a sounding brass, or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, and then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity.
St. Francis will be recited after admissions to the order. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Would you all stand? From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center, where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center, which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.
At this festival of Easter, when we celebrate the blazing forth of the light which lighteth every man who cometh into the world, I invite you on behalf of the trustees of the Omega Trust to inaugurate the Omega Order and to serve the Order in the capacity of leader. Are you willing to do this?
I am, with the help of God.
We invest you with the sign of the Omega Order and entrust to your keeping the commitments of those to be received into the Order this day. We ask you now to inaugurate the Order.
At this Easter Eve in the year of our Lord, 1980, we inaugurate the Omega Order as a fellowship of men and women resolved to dedicate themselves, their time and talents, to the sacrificial service of humanity and the planet. I now remind you of the aims of the Order: to follow those spiritual disciplines which awaken the heart to the truth as it is in Jesus, to reverence Christ under all forms to the exclusion of none, to encourage the Christ consciousness wherever it is found, to work for cooperation with the evolving life of the planet. James, in the name of the Christ, who fills all things, the light of the world, the Alpha and the Omega, the I Am who was, who is, and who is to come, I receive you into the Order. May the eyes of your heart be open to true knowledge, wisdom and discernment, and above all things, may you abound in charity to all men and to all creation. Kenneth, in the name of the Christ who fills all things, the light of the world, the Alpha and the Omega, the I Am who was, who is, and who is to come, I receive you into the Order. May the eyes of your heart be opened to true knowledge, wisdom, and discernment, and above all things, may you abound in charity to all men and to all creation. Stand and say together in prayers in front of you. Lord,
make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life.
Under God's gracious mercy and protection we commit you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace, now and always.
Amen. Amen.